Now, welcome on the call, the head coach at Rhode Island, Jim Fleming. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, Rob.
26-22 victory for your team against a quality Maine team. What impressed you with the way your guys played?
I think we hung in there through some tough times. I mean, they jumped out to a, 10-point lead. We get a little breath of fresh air, end of the half with a big strike from Kasim to Ed. And then we turn around and give up a kickoff return all the way down to the 34-yard line that turned into 3 points. So we went in halftime and really was no panic. There wasn't. I'm proud of the way they handled the downside. And then we came out and established ourselves beginning of the second half and was able to control the game for the most part. I mean, Maine was what I expected. We haven't beat them in 15 years. It was a lot, mojo out there associated with that game, but they were not going to go quietly away. And we were able to go ahead and get a 3-and-out, get a good punt return from Ed. And then we were able to grind out 5 minutes and 34 seconds at the end of the game, which was really impressive. And, but it was a good football game and they gave us everything we wanted. We didn't want as much as they gave us, but that's credit to Jordan and that group. They're grinding away. I feel for them. It was a tough loss for them. And I've been in those shoes. It's a tough one to keep rocking and rolling, but they stepped up and played a very good game. And I'm sure they'll continue to get better as they go forward. I guess they get one more, maybe two more.
First question this morning for me, Anika. Go ahead, Anika.
Hi, Coach. How are you?
Good, Neocon. How you doing?
I'm good. Looking forward to this week. You guys haven't won at New Hampshire during your time as the head coach. What makes playing there so difficult?
it's the quality of New Hampshire's program. It really doesn't have anything to do with the facility or the mojo. Their locker room's complete nasty, but that's kind of standard in the CAA. Other than our place, we treat everybody like kings when they come to our joint. But we go other places, and it's interesting. We were talking about last time we were up there, I think the locker room flooded, but it's not anything to do with touchy-feely things. It's that New Hampshire's got a very confident team when they're playing at home. We were up there 1 year, 17-0 at halftime, and we really didn't know how to handle that as a team. We were kind of growing a little bit, and we ended up losing by 3. So we know what we got to do. It's going to be a tough out for us, regardless of whether it's home or away. But they certainly play very well at home, and we're all playing for a lot on the table here. So I know, Rick, you'll have those guys ready, and we'll be ready, and we'll have a good football game.
Thank you.
Next question from Steve McDonald. Go ahead, Steve.
Morning, Coach. Thanks, Rob. Marcus DeShields, first half coach, they kept him in check pretty well. Didn't look like he really had his wheels turning. Then you look up at the end of the game, he's got 110 yards and gave you some explosive plays in the second half. Just talk about the difference between those two halves with him.
Yeah, it was an odd game to coach, because there really wasn't anything extravagant going on one way or the other. It was just a little back and forth, and I kept on waiting. And waiting. I said, all right, we got to, when's he going to crack? When are we going to get that run pop? And it was, it was fourth quarter. He had that one that, he started to get it going. You could see it start to generate. And, our offensive line is very good. It gets stronger and it gets more, more comfortable with what they're seeing. And we're putting hats on the right people. And then he was finding the cracks. But you saw him in the fourth quarter really, step up and do some very special things that, it was really his show, and he did an incredible job, making sure that, we were able to win the football game with a big run that took us down to the 2-yard line. I think that gave us the go ahead score. That was a really good run that he had. And he had a number of other ones that were getting there, but they got better and better as the game went on.
Follow up, if I could, just no turnovers either side, Coach. Did you get the sense late in the game that there's going to be one somewhere that's going to cost somebody on either side of the ball, either them or you, the game?
I knew something. I knew something was going to crack. And it was one of those games that was going to crack one way or the other. And of course, I'm hoping on the home team. hoping they're going to do something. But it was a very neutral game in terms of those types of explosives. Where our team on defense is. really made a living on tackles for loss, sacks, disruption, that kind of thing, and takeaways. And we had none of those during the course of the game. I thought we did a good job holding on to the rock and being very conscious of ball security, which is something we work on a day-to-day basis. So, you know, at the end of the day, you got two football teams battling out, which you really hope is going to crack as a player here or there, you know, and know that your two-yard runs in the first half can become explosive runs in the second half. And Marcus has shown to be that kind of back. And so that's what we were glad to see, those kinds of changes happening instead of something dramatic changing the face of the game.
Thanks, Coach. Thanks, Rob.
Yep. Jimmy, next question from Nick. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, Rob. Thank you. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Good, Nick. How you doing?
Good. I'm good. Hopefully they don't give you the Red Auerbach treatment this time coming up to UNH, the visiting locker room. Hopefully it's a little bit better this time.
Red Auer, you got to fill me in on that at another time, brother.
The whole warm Gatorade thing. That's what it sort of sounded like. He used to give it to the visitors when they came in, the Celtics back in the 70s, whatever it was.
So. I've been asking Thor to do the same thing, so I'm just falling on deaf ears right now, but that's all right.
Sure. I just wanted to ask you, you know, this time last year, your team is at this point where you sort of control your own playoff destiny, control your resume. Are you getting the sense that the players know that, hey, we got to this point last year, we want to get over the top this time, we want to put in the work and you know, we want to get to, you know, the postseason and reach that goal?
Yeah, I think that decision was made way back last November, you know, finishing up at Elon. I really do. You know, these kids set their sights on what they wanted to accomplish, and we've been, you know, coaching them very short term, game to game. You know, the coach speak is, you know, just get ready for the next game and be prepared for that. Now, you know, they're not dummies. They know where we are in the conference race. They know we've gotten ourselves to 6-3 before. You know, and we were able to get the 7th win versus New Hampshire, you know, ironically last year, but we didn't finish the drill. So we've got, you know, two incredible games against us, you know, that for us that we have to conclude the season. And that really is 100% focus on this weekend's game. I mean, I was talking to Shane Donaldson earlier, and, you know, he's saying, you know, technically this really is the start of playoffs for us. You know, if we're going to get it. We got to beat New Hampshire at New Hampshire, and then we got to come home and we got to, you know, beat Albany at home, which is not going to be an easy task.
Jim, one more on that running game. You talked about Marcus's big fourth quarter, but also on that 5-minute drive to close it out, Kasim made some huge plays in the run game. What enabled you to really get that run game going over that fourth quarter stretch?
Well, like I said, I mean, you know, everything is designed to work, right? You know, every play you put out there has a hat in a hat, and then the defense sometimes has something different to say about it. We got stuffed on 3rd and 1, made a decision to go for it on the 4th down. Marcus found a crack and got us a convincing 1st down there. He cracked off another good run that, you know, at the end to get the final 1st down. But I think Kasim's run was a read zone, you know, that he pulled the ball because they were deciding to take away Marcus, and he ran it up in there and had a nice gain and ran extremely strong and physical. So, you know, he's been able to do some things with his legs as his game presented, you know, last week. You know, a couple tugs, I think, down in the red area, he ran them in, and you know, to help us kill that drive, that had a lot to do with the quarterback's legs and Marcus DeShields.
Big afternoon from Ed Lee, 8 catches, 190 yards, also had that big return, but just talk about the day that he had in the pass game for you.
I mean, he's steady Eddie, he really is. I mean, he shows up every week. It hasn't been like, oh my God, who is this guy coming onto the scene? Now, it was his first time in the post-game press conference, which is always cool to see how those guys react there. But, you know, he is everything our program's about. You know, he came in here as a walk-on, earned a scholarship, continued to go ahead and wait his turn in the shadows of Aaron Parker and Isaiah Coulter and Amir Dorsey. And, you know, this last, you know, 3 seasons, I mean, he's been a phenomenal part of it. Lost a little bit of that spring 21, had a nice job last year. And he's, you know, our go-to guy right now. And Kasim's very comfortable getting the ball. And it's not all that he's wide open. He's getting open, but he's made some really heavy-duty contested catches, and obviously his punt return skills are very solid as well. But that we look at as a team team goal, you know, with everybody blocking for him. But he's had a spectacular year so far, and we're continuing to, you know, hoping that he can continue on that strain, on that stretch, and, you know, see where he can go. I just, you know, think the world of him as a player and as a person, and he's a glue for our team, a very good leader.
Let's dive into the New Hampshire matchup a little bit. Offensively, Dylan Labbe has had a tremendous year in a lot of phases of the game for them. And then Max Brosmer has been much improved as the year's gone along. What makes them so tough on offense?
Well, you just named two of them. I mean, you know, and I think that the receiver core is really solid as well. You know, they got a big tight end. It takes me a while to catch up on the names. You know, I'm not like Sean Mack used to be. He'd have all those names and be ripping them off. I kind of go by numbers, but number nine can get out there and run and stretch the field. 15's had some big productive catches for him. Sean Coyne, the one that got away here from Portsmouth, Rhode Island, is a guy that continues to produce for them. But I like Max. You know, I mean, I liked him before he got hurt, you know, when he was a freshman. I think was the last we played him when he was a freshman. I knew he was going to be good. And Lobby's your nightmare. You know, you don't, you know, you're really concerned both as a running back and running threat, you know, can catch the ball out of the backfield. And then his return stuff is it'll open your eyes. So we're going to have to really control him in particular. And then defensively, you know, they're rocking around pretty good. They're playing extremely hard. They're sound. They know what they're doing. And, you know, they got a very good football team. So we got to play well.
All right, Jim, thanks so much for the time here this morning, and look forward to talking again next Monday.
All right. Thanks, Rob.
All right. Thank you.
See you guys.